This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Leslie Kane, in looking over getting information about reincarnation, did you ever hear of a book called The Search for Bridie Murphy?
Yes, I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with that event, that incident, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I didn't study it in depth, but yeah. But the cases that I'm really interested in involve small children. There's no hypnosis involved, and they're children that come up with incredibly specific memories at very young ages with information they couldn't possibly have accessed through normal means, and that the information is able to be verified to the life of a specific person so that you can actually sort of prove that the memory they had of their past life actually happened. So it's like being able to verify that memory. And those are the cases that I report on in my book and find to be the most evidential for the reality of reincarnation is the ones involving these 2 and 3 year old children.
Yeah, I've run across a couple of those myself. I'm very interested in all of this stuff as well. I tend to take a very critical thinking perspective towards it all and look at the pros and the cons to see what might be possible and what might not be possible. And I've never run across a case that is that convincing for me, but I know that there are a lot of other people who have, and I'm curious as to why some people go the extra step to believe. It's almost as ethereal as the whole ufology thing. Probably less so, because I mean, spirits and consciousness, it's all ethereal. It can't be picked up on radar. There, it doesn't leave traces. There's, at best, it's just people's memories that might somehow have been transferred to another person. But that doesn't really say anything about continuity of consciousness. So it's all very interesting, but I mean, what do you make of it yourself? Or how do you explain what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is absolutely true, that this whole realm of investigation is much harder to pinpoint and to document than UFOs, where we have, as you mentioned, all this data that goes back decades and decades, and it's consistent, and we have all this physical stuff. But with respect to, so that's one of the reasons why I was inspired to do this book, because I wanted to find out what is the best evidence we have for the possibility that the consciousness survives death. And I only wanted to look at really solid evidence. And it's out there. I mean, and I looked at it from a range of different areas. So I'm not just looking at one thing like reincarnation or near-death experiences or this or mediumship, which most books deal with one aspect of it. But I really wanted to kind of bring together the most journalistically solid and the most scientifically solid information to support that possibility from a range of areas and show how they all kind of interconnect with each other. And so I believe that some of the cases on reincarnation that where we can actually verify the memories of these children are very compelling. Maybe you can explain them in some other way, like you said, but these children not only have the memories, but they're very emotionally involved. They have knowledge of what they knew in that past life. They're emotionally affected by their memories. They have nightmares around their previous deaths. They long for their previous families. I mean, there's a whole, you know, a world that they're involved with, which is a lot more complicated than just remembering specific things. And when you have a list of 12 or 15 or even more highly specific memories, and you can say, well, this person, we found somebody that all those memories fit that life of that person. You know, and that child is convinced that they were that person and they remember the death that they had in that previous life. They remember their families. They can go to the house where they used to live and recognize things in the house or tell you where something is hidden in that house, things like that. It's very compelling. It's a compelling argument for reincarnation. Let's put it that way. The only other explanation might be that they have some kind of incredible psychic ability or some kind of reason that they would pick up psychically on this one particular lifetime of one person who lived 50 years ago and had no relationship to them or their families. And then this child has no other psychic abilities. It's not like they're picking up on people all the time. It's this one life, this one event that has consumed them. And then once they grow older, they move on. So Dr. Jim Tucker, who's a child psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, who has been studying these cases for a long time, you know, has been directly involved with many of them and has drawn the conclusion that he believes that the reincarnation, the thesis of reincarnation, is the most likely explanation for it. But as with everything else, we can't prove it. But I think some of the cases we have, and I explore two of them in my book of these, of the, they're both American boys, are really fascinating and very hard to dismiss as something other than something very paranormal is going on there.
They seem to be reasonable in terms of these young children were having experiences that they believe are real themselves. Determining exactly how they got the memories that have led them to believe that they had these past lives is a whole other question. And that's the part that I struggle with these, because you can read the counterpoint to virtually every point that's made and go, well, that's sort of just as reasonable, in fact, more reasonable than suggesting that there's some continuity of consciousness following the death of the body. At least this is what I've been able to come up with. So I'm just kind of wondering how it is that we kind of bridge the gap other than by sheer faith or belief.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not, I mean, I have to, you know, we have a discussion another time maybe about this counterpoint that you're talking about. I mean, I have not seen any arguments laid out about the specific cases that I report on here that have convinced me that there's some other way to explain them. I mean, there may be other possibilities, but I haven't found any of them to be as convincing as the reincarnation explanation. But it's true. You don't know for sure that that's what happened. I mean, I'm not saying that I know for sure. I think all the stuff I report on in this book is highly suggestive. And that's as far as I'm willing to go, but you can't prove it.
Well, that's entirely reasonable, though, because I do find it fascinating as well, because something is going on that is out of the ordinary that we don't really understand. People who want to, say, be dismissive of the idea of a reincarnation will just say, well, that's not possible, and therefore that can't be the case. Personally, I would fall into that category, but I don't fall into the category that it's not happening or that there is a definite explanation. I just think it has to be something perhaps other than what people are led to believe it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly valid. That's a valid, and maybe you can come up with a very convincing explanation, which, you know, if you look at these two cases in my book, I'd be very interested to hear your perspective on them. Actually, and I just want to say, too, that reincarnation, as I see it, is just one component of many areas of investigation that all kind of point towards the same reality. So it's not all about reincarnation. That's just one aspect of it, of you know, evidence, a body of evidence that suggests that consciousness functions independently of the brain. That's the first component. And then there's the question of whether If it functions independently of the brain, and we can see that in a lot of different ways, does it mean that when we die, it still functions independently of our bodies? You know, that's the question.
Yeah, I think that question has still really not been proven that is in any way possible for consciousness.
Can't prove that. Absolutely right.
It's what does seem to have been well, proof, that's one of those questions. How do you define proof? I always say that, well, proof is just evidence that's sufficient to justify belief in a claim. And for some people, certain evidence is good enough. And for other people, that same evidence isn't good enough.
This is good enough. These announcements coming up. Leslie Kane talking about the ramifications of that book, Surviving Death, Reincarnation, all that. with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, I have a brief thought here about reincarnation, because some of the common theories are that you in your life have to pass a test to get to a next level, and therefore you go up the vibratory plane. But if you just reincarnated as another individual, that maybe you remember and maybe you don't, what's the point of that? Or are you just getting in touch somehow with this consciousness that exists somewhere? I'll give you another wild theory just came up with multiverse. They exist in another parallel universe, and you're tapping into, for whatever reason, the lives they've had. That's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, I can't speak to any of this because as a journalist, I'm just reporting on the case studies. You know what I mean? I'm not like speculating about what happens when you're in the other realms or when, you know, you're going to different levels of consciousness after you die or why you come back or whether you do come back. I mean, all I'm doing is saying, here's this child. Here's what happened with this child. And here's what's been able to be verified. The whole story around this child's memories and how it affected his family and when he met the members of the family from the previous life and all of that. But the rest of it, as far as I'm concerned, is absolutely outside my ability to comment on or to know anything more than anybody else knows about it.
It sounds like one of the things, though, that it's happening, but how can you possibly, number one, prove it other than the experience of something and hope to find a cause? But how would you find the cause if you're in touch with a consciousness that's, you know, whatever, in the afterlife, or you are basically returning to another form? How can any of this be proven? That's what also is strange, and is also the impossibility here.
You mean the fact that someone has returned at all? How can that be proven? Is that what you're saying?
Possibilities here. Either they're tapping into something, a consciousness that's, or they lived that life, which is what the reincarnation theory is, that 100 years ago they were that person. And then when that person died, the consciousness sought a new host.
I mean, that's what the children feel happened to them. They feel that they lived that life and they have these memories of it and these emotions and these longings and these nightmares and all this stuff. And that's how they feel it to be. Now, that maybe that's not what it is. As you're saying, maybe they're tapping into this one particular individual consciousness for some unexplainable reason. Somebody they've heard nothing about, know nothing about, who, I mean, in the case of these two children, there was at least about 50 years between the death of the previous person and the birth of this child. And there's no connection, so there's no way that they would pick up this information from their families or something like that. So, you know, we know what happened. We can verify the memories, and we know the experience of the child, and we know what the child thinks. But beyond that, we don't know. Maybe there's another way to explain it. It's just, it doesn't, none of those explanations make sense to the people involved, but doesn't mean that they're not the right ones.
I have an overview also about the fact that possibly a lot of children do have memories or abilities, even psychic abilities, but we kind of condition them or brainwash them out of it. Oh, he's just playing. It's an imaginary friend, whatever it is. By the time they're assimilated into society and they're educated, whatever abilities they may have had are gone.
I think that's true. I think I've heard parents tell me, oh, my child started talking about memories and I would just tell them, oh, you had a dream or, you know, yeah, it's not part of our culture to encourage that kind of thing in children. And in other countries, it's much more part of their culture, like in India, for instance, or Asian cultures, which have Buddhist beliefs, where reincarnation is just part of the norm for them. So that when children talk about it, they're listened to. But in America, that's not the case. And in some ways, that makes the two cases that I reported on and others that occur in America even stronger in that they're up against the whole cultural backlash that, you know, that comes along with it. And the journey of the parents is very interesting in that regard, too. In the two cases I've studied, the dads absolutely could not accept this, and it was the moms who were more open to it. And in one case, the dad was absolutely convinced to prove that his child was wrong and that his child was not remembering a past life. And every step of the way, all he ever was able to do was verify it because he'd do the research and find out that the memories were accurate or that they related to something the child couldn't possibly know anything about. It was this whole journey for the parents. So it's just, it's a fascinating, phenomenon to study from a lot of different perspectives.
It's kind of interesting because I think, are we talking about James Leninger?
Yeah, James Leninger is one of the ones, right. And Ryan Hammonds is the other. And people out there may have heard of the James Leninger case. It's quite well known, more so. Right.
So maybe we might be able to clear up a couple of misconceptions here then about a couple of the points. So one of the counterpoints is that actually while James was very young, it was fairly common for him to be exposed to that information by way of visits to local museums and toys that were from that period, a whole number of them. And young people are, especially at that age, they soak up everything. There's a couple of really interesting cases I could share with you about how you can develop perfect pitch, for example, by exposing young children to sounds, and they pick it up automatically, just like little sponges. Mm-hmm. And then their imaginations just form the actual images and understanding of what's going on all by themselves. They're amazing. And so virtually every single example here of that particular case looks like it can be explained in that way. If you're saying that they never took their son
to the
museums before.
They did, but he was after he would had been interested. I mean, you have to look at the chronology of things.
Exactly. So, did he
to a lot of the stuff that he talked about. He hadn't been exposed to anything related to it before he talked about it, such as the Natoma Bay, when he talked about the Natoma Bay and the types of aircrafts and things like that. I mean, this was a 2-year-old who couldn't read. And he just, the kind of knowledge that he had, according to his parents, there's no way he could have been exposed to it because they were aware of what their child had been exposed to. But yeah, they're always, all of that has to be analyzed and, it comes into question. And a lot of it in this situation is you have to rely on the honesty of the parents and you have to have some kind of written record of what happened when so that you can look at the chronology of everything. That's a really important part of it.
Absolutely.
Her book is Surviving Death. We have a couple of more segments to talk about all these ramifications, all these things that we do not understand about our world. We think we've got a handle on things, but there's always something we just can't figure out. But you can figure out this. We've got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Freed momentarily from the Senate's impeachment trial, several presidential candidates hightailed into Iowa for last-minute campaigning before the state's caucuses kick off the battle for the Democratic nomination. Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii plan to hold town halls, rallies, and concerts across Iowa to keep their supporters motivated into the final stretch of the campaign. They'll join former Vice President Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, who does not have any Senate obligations and already spent much of the past week in Iowa. China's leader called the accelerating spread of a new coronavirus a very grave situation as cities from the outbreak's epicenter in central China to Hong Kong scrambled to contain an illness that has now infected more than 1,200 people and killed at least 41. This is USA Radio News.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Going back to surviving death, Leslie, what started you off on that quest?
Well, I had been interested in these questions for a long time, kind of in the background of all the years I was studying UFOs. And I just had read things here and there. I was involved with a documentary that was made about some of these questions, and I got to know some of the players in the field. And it was just something I was always curious about, and I was particularly interested in the work of the Department of Perceptual Studies in the University of Virginia, because this is a group of academics and psychiatrists and medical doctors who have formed this unit within a major university to study these matters. And so that was really interesting to me. So anyway, the way it all happened was a few years after my UFO book was out and I'd done all the things that happen after you do a book like that, my publisher just basically said, is there something else you'd like to write about? Do you want to do another book? And I had actually been thinking at that very time that I wanted to do another book exploring these questions. And it was a real synchronicity, because I was planning that very week to talk to my agent about that possibility. And before I could do that, she called me and said she'd just gotten a call from them and they were asking that question, whether I want to do something else. So the difference was, for this book, I really didn't know much about this stuff before I got it, did the book. So the book was a personal journey, and I had a lot of experiences throughout the research that were very personal to me, which I also brought into the book. Whereas with the UFO book, I had studied it for 10 years, so it was sort of the culmination of all the work I'd done. But this was like, I didn't know what I was going to find when I jumped into it. I didn't know where it was going to lead me, and it was all kind of new. I mean, I'd had some experience with some of the material, but nothing like UFOs. So it's very different in that way, that it's way more personal. It deals with topics that are much harder to pin down, compared to UFOs. I found it to be a much more difficult book to write. than the UFO book, way more difficult, more personal, and more complicated. And each of the areas of discussion in this book in themselves could have been a whole book. So it was also about having to trim it down to the essential core of what I thought was the most important information and to find a way to hold it all together. So, yeah, so it is something I've been interested in a long time. I'm sort of interested in these big mysteries, questions that, you know, we probably will never be able to answer. And this is one of them, is the question of consciousness and the survival past death.
You mentioned the word personal several times. Does that mean you have had personal experiences or personal experiences that occurred to the people around you?
Yeah, I mean, during the course of writing the book, I had some experience with mediums that were really mind-blowing to me, and I reported on those in the book because I did them in a way that was objective, so that they didn't know my name ahead of time, for instance, and I was able to record the conversations and analyze them, etc. And I also lost my brother in 2013 very unexpectedly during the time I was, while I was writing this book, and never expected anything like that. I never expected to lose him in the first place. But then after that happened, there were various types of communications that I believed at the time were coming from him, or at least they seemed to be. And that all became part of my journey as well, is receiving these, what we call after-death communications, which is a whole, also a field of research that's been done. And then I had another experience with a physical medium, which I write about in my book. So with this kind of information, you can go out and test it yourself and experience it yourself, a lot of it. Whereas, of course, with UFOs, you can't do that. You have to rely, you know, I've never seen a UFO. It's all about what people tell me. But with the journey through a lot of this material, such as mediumship, I could jump into it and test it for myself. And that was very different. So, yeah, in the process of doing that, it became personal for me. And also risky for me as a journalist to talk about. I mean, I had to think carefully. Am I going to really talk about my experiences with this kind of weird stuff? And I felt, you know, I've gone out on a limb more with this book than I feel I ever did with UFOs.
That's fair. That's certainly.
Yeah.
Yes, that is. It is brave of you. There's no doubt about it. And there's also no doubt that people are having these kinds of experiences. So to simply dismiss them, I don't think is fair to anybody. To explain them is a huge challenge.
You really can't explain them, but you can report on them. And when you're dealing with a personal experience, it's really the experiencer, person having the experience, that has to interpret them for themselves. And that's where the meaning comes from for that person. But for many of them, there's no kind of objective way of explaining them in any kind of scientific way. But they do happen, and people need to be aware of that. And I think so many people have these experiences, and they don't feel safe talking about it. And I'm hoping that my book, and I know that it has so far, it's made it more comfortable for people to talk about their own experiences, which is, I think, really important.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. At the same time, I kind of worry that the experiences that people have are in a category where people have already kind of made up their mind about what it means to them. And therefore, everything that they think about it is confirming their belief, so that there is a lot of confirmation bias about what is happening. So, for example, someone might actually experience an apparition of something that looks like their departed loved one. And that will immediately lead them to conclude that therefore there is life after death, and that their departed loved one is existing in some realm after the death of their body. And trying to convince them otherwise can be very dangerous because of the emotions involved. I've lost a brother too. I lost my life partner to cancer. So it's not like I haven't lost people and wouldn't like to believe that there is some sort of an afterlife. Mm-hmm. But I don't. And I have reasons for that. And yet I still do believe that people have experiences that will lead them to believe that those people still exist, because that's what they want. That's what they prefer.
Right. Yeah, I understand that perspective. Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like if somebody wants to have that belief system and if something reinforces it for them, that's their choice.
But I have a question here, kind of an overarching question here.
Yeah, sure.
Going back to UFOs, have you found at all, talking to any witnesses of UFO events, that they have a history of other stuff happening to them?
Yeah, there have been people like that. I mean, Robert Hastings just came out with a book about that, as you probably know. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a complicated thing, how they intersect. And that's something I'm just sort of beginning to try to grapple with more, than I have before. Is the whole, as we talked about earlier, I think that's what you're talking about, that yeah, I mean, to what extent do people just create realities for themselves? As I think it was Randall who was saying that, I'm sure that happens all the time. So I'm trying to be as scientific and objective as I can be in this book that I've written, and looking at studies and statistics and, you know, cardiologists who have studied near-death experiences and you know, be objective as I can, but it's hard to, I mean, everyone's going to have their own belief system and their own perspective that's going to enter into how they interpret things that happen. And I don't think there's any way we can avoid that. I mean, my experiences, I've had these profound experiences, and I still feel like I don't know for sure what they were. They seem like they might have been my brother, but I can't say I'm 100% certain about that.
I'd like to ask you maybe some more details about that in our next segment, but I'm going to tell you a story before I do that. We've got Leslie Kane. The book is Surviving Death with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Let me go back to 1985. My mother-in-law is dying of pancreatic cancer. So my wife and I are over at her sister's home. And her mother had this seizure, like having a heart attack, right in front of her. And that's, of course, how she died. She died of a heart attack after suffering the fatal illness. But just a few moments later, she felt, my wife, an intense internal pressure, like someone was trying to hug her real, real hard, and then it was gone. And I think she understood then that her mother was gone. Have you heard of those types of experiences?
Yep, absolutely, where somebody close to a dying person seems to know the moment that they've died, or they might be visited in some way. And they might see an apparition or feel like they're being visited by that person who they didn't know had died at that moment. Is that what you're referring to?
Something yes. Like. In this case here, we weren't 100% sure at
right.
that point that she had died. But when the medics came over, they confirmed it to us that she had already been dead. And this apparently happened a short time later.
Yeah, I mean, those experiences happen to people all the time. And there have been people who have studied them, you know, that have written books about and how what percentage of people have them and what kinds of experiences people report along those lines. It's way more common than you would think.
Well, now, you talked before about experiences involving your late brother, and I know you prefer to talk about researching and journalism and more objective things, but are there things you want to say more about that?
I mean, it's in my book, so I'm not hiding it. It's more difficult to talk about the personal stuff, but I've written about it, so I'm not going to. If you want to talk about it, we can.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a series of experiences after he died in which I felt some kind of connection to him. A lot of the times it had to do with electrical effects that were going on. At one point, I was grieving very hard. I was on my bed, you know, in deep grief, and I actually heard his voice, and it was not coming from inside my brain. It was more like a telepathic sound of his voice. It's very, I mean, I do describe it in my book. I worked hard about how to figure out how to describe that. It wasn't coming from my brain. It was outside of my brain. That was very clear. And I heard his voice so clearly and so loudly. And he spoke my name in just the inflection that he used to always say it. It was so clearly his voice to me. And it just said, "Leslie, I'm fine. It's all okay. I'm fine." And it was like startling to me. I know the difference between a thought in my head and something that's not that. So this was something else. It was, to me, it was like, oh, I just heard a message from my brother. Now, you can analyze this stuff later, and all kinds of doubts come up, and maybe it was or maybe it wasn't, and maybe I generated it somehow from my unconscious because I was grieving. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can explain it. And that's true with any kind of experience like this. So it's up to the person having the experience to create whatever they want with it. I mean, that's what how I feel about it. What more can you do?
I suppose that the aim of all of this is for us to try to find out what the independent objective reality or truth of the situation is that is separate from what we might want to believe.
Right. And in that kind of a situation, there's no way to do that, really. I mean, I think when you get involved with mental mediumship, it's maybe more objective. So I had these readings with two extraordinary mental mediums in which they were able to connect with my brother and bring through a lot of personal information that they couldn't possibly have known. Now, you can argue that that could have been the use of their psi. I mean, it all gets very complicated, you know, that maybe they were just doing that through the use of their own psychic abilities and there was no spiritual entity present. That and both Bud Hopkins and my brother came through these mediums with all kinds of information that the medium couldn't possibly have known. That's also very compelling. It just, you know, I could talk for hours about this. It's kind of hard to take it out of context because my book is very systematic how it goes through things. You know, that's another fascinating experience where you feel like you are indeed connecting to that person. I mean, in my situation, the personalities were coming through. My brother and Bud were opposite personalities, and the way they came through in the reading were exactly like that. They would say things that were just very personal to me, and no one else could possibly have known. So make of that what you will, but when you have that experience, it's very powerful, and it's all a matter of how you're going to open up your mind to it and how you're going to relate to it and what meaning you're going to allow that to have for you. The objective part of the mediumship reading is basically just the analysis of what percentage of it is accurate and what percentage is not accurate. And beyond that, there's not a lot you can do with it.
How did you come to select the mediums that you consulted?
The two that I worked with, there were two organizations in the United States that certify mediums. So they have a whole protocol in which they test mental mediums. The mediums have to pass these various tests, and they do readings with people, and there's a whole level, a whole series of things they have to go through to become certified. And so I went to these two organizations the first time, and I asked for them to recommend a medium that had been certified by both. They're independent organizations, so I was able to find one who had been certified by both and was highly recommended to me as being absolutely an outstanding medium. And so that was how I found the first one. She has since written a number of books and become very well known. I was fortunate to even get a reading with her because now you can't even get a reading with her. She's booked up for like 10 years or something. She was really, really phenomenal. Her name's Laura Lynn Jackson. And so that was how I found her. And then the second medium was an Irish medium. I wanted the second one. I wanted to be 100% sure that the two mediums didn't know each other and had no connection to each other. So the second one I found through a colleague in California who recommended her, who had worked with her, somebody who does paranormal investigations and had recommended her as a really, really good medium. And so I made very sure that those two didn't even know about each other before I did the second one. And that one was phenomenal. I mean, this woman in Ireland, I took out a fake name. I didn't use my email address. You know, there was absolutely no way that she could have known who I was before the reading started. And it was on Skype that we did that reading. And just the amount of specific information that came through was really, really remarkable. I transcribed a lot of it. I mean, I listed a lot of the stuff in my book that came through in that reading. And a lot of it was from Bud Hopkins.
Now, that is interesting. I didn't think about that. The fact that you're doing this with Skype, you're not physically present.
No, the first reading was on the phone. Yeah, it's more evidential that way. Now, the second reading, she could see me. She could see my face, but I had nothing around me that would be suggestive of anything. And she was willing to do it on the phone without seeing me. It's not like she was picking up cues or anything because she was fine with doing it without the visual. But she said that's how she usually does it, and she kind of enjoys seeing the person, and she enjoys interacting face-to-face. Yes, yeah, so it's more evidential if you're going to have a reading to do it either on the phone or with a computer where you're not physically with them and where they don't know your name ahead of time, so they can't look anything up about you.
Leslie Kane, tell our listeners, please, where they can find more of your stuff.
My website is survivingdeathkane.com. It's got both my UFO stuff on it and my new book, Surviving Death, on it. Again, it's Surviving Death, and then my last name, which is spelled K-E-A-N. And I'm also on Facebook. You can come there and visit me as well.
You can visit us on Facebook if you look for The Paracast. We are on Twitter. Look for The Paracast again. We also have After The Paracast, a second radio show we do. It's available only to subscribers of The Paracast Plus. If you go to theparacast.plus, you'll get more information. After The Paracast is a really, really interesting show. We also sometimes just offer continuing interviews with our guests from the Paracast, or we have other discussions and other guests. So Leslie has agreed to stay on and continue this interview on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast. You get that with your subscription. We also give you a version of this show, free of the network ads, no network ads at all. For more information on signing up, go to theparacast.plus. That's it, theparacast.plus. Leslie Kane, we only got started here. I think we can do a lot more. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks. I'll have to come back sometime and tell you more. Because just also the experience I mentioned with my brother was there were so many more that were probably more evidential and more compelling than the one I mentioned. So I'll just mentioning that, and I hope people will read the book if they want to hear more.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.